When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello and welcome to The Villain Was Right, the podcast where we look at movies and TV shows from the villain's perspective and dare to ask, were they really all that bad? I'm your host, Craig Faye.
And I'm your host, Rebecca Reeds.
And this week on the podcast, we're getting into it. We're doing Batman Forever.
So fun.
We've done Batman Returns. We've done Batman and Robin. We're going to the jelly and the jelly sandwich. Batman Forever.
Batman Forever. I had never seen this movie.
You hadn't.
I had not. I don't know how I missed this one. I don't know how that... Well, probably because I was five when it came out.
You were five. Wow. Okay. Yeah.
So that's probably how I missed this one. I just like never went back to watch this one. And honestly, I think it's a lot of fun. I laughed a lot.
Yeah. I think this may have been the first Batman movie that I ever saw in theaters. Like,
wow.
I remember going to the theater and being like, I'm excited to see a Batman movie.
Mine was Dark Knight.
Yeah. And I think I remember, like, I didn't get it at the time, or I didn't like it.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and we were talking before this. We're like, is this a bad movie? I don't know.
I just don't think it is. I don't know. Like, I had a lot of fun. It's super cheesy, but I think it knows it's super cheesy.
Yes.
I think it really leans into Batman being ridiculous also.
Yeah.
He has several lines that are just, like, tremendously hilarious.
Yes. I think, and like, the villains in this are having so much fun. Like, Jim Carrey and Tommy Lee Jones, as we were saying, are just, like... Seems like they're just having the time. They're chewing the scenery.
They're super over the top. It's, yeah. The costumes are incredible.
They are. Like, they seem...
They're incredible.
Like, they seem really different. They're really different from, like, Batman Returns, where it's all, like, dark and brooding and, like, all this.
No, it
and
looks
it's, like
a
fun
comic
and
book.
Neon. Yeah, and I was like... And again, I was like... I got about halfway through this, so I was like, wait, this is kind of... This is fun?
Yes.
You know, but even when the movie ended, I was like, do I like this? Like, I don't know.
I think I liked it. I like when it's cheesy. I like when people are dying and they're like, whoa, no. Like, it's, I like it. Pour it on me.
The part I will say that I laughed the hardest, and I did not remember this part. I rewound it and watched it multiple times. I took a picture of it. I finished the movie and scanned back to show Kat at home, which is the party and, like, you know, because it's a Batman movie, so obviously there's a party that's get crashed by the villains.
Of course.
I don't know how that's a trope of Batman movies, but it is.
It truly is.
And he smashes through the window and they cut, and it's just one guy, and it's like a child is saying it. He goes, Batman, yay! He goes, it's Batman! Yeah! Died laughing.
Oh,
died
yes.
laughing. But I was like, oh, that's... How did that not get cut? I don't know.
No, I don't care. No. Because they know what... I think they knew what movie they were making.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
Leave it in. That's so funny.
Yeah. But guys, if you have not seen Batman Forever, this is the Val Kilmer Batman. So you got Val Kilmer as Bruce Wayne Batman. And the movie starts with essentially a bank heist where it's Two-Face is in this building where they keep the safe on the top floor for some stupid reason. Anyway,
love that.
And Batman shows up. You know who Batman is. We meet Dr. Chase Meridian, played by Nicole Kidman, who is just immediately down for Batman. Like, she is flirting. She is flirting so heavily with Batman. She's an expert in abnormal psychology and very particularly people with a split personality. Whoa. So they're trying to talk Two-Face down from this thing. And Two-Face is like, no, this is all just like to trap Batman. And Batman goes up to try and save this guard. And there's hot acid being poured into he gets trapped in the safe and they take off with the safe on a helicopter. And there's hot acid splashing around. And Batman like steals the guard's hearing aid and cracks the safe. swings the safe back in, and then Two-Face gets away, but it's a whole thing. And then we cut to where Bruce Wayne, and he's meeting with, like, he's taking a tour of Wayne Enterprises, and we, Edward Nigma, who is played by Jim Carrey, and he's like, I'm crazy, I can beam TV into your mind. And then Bruce Wayne is like, wouldn't that also allow you to read the person's mind? And he's like, yeah, whatever. And Bruce, like, basically ends
I love
up,
how that's common knowledge.
Yeah.
It's like, well, clearly. If you can beam in, you can beam out.
We all know. anyway, so he's got this, like, mind reading thing. Not Bruce Wayne, but his boss fires him for, like, being an asshole. Mm-hmm. And Edward Nigma, a.k.a. the Riddler, I'm not spoiling anything by telling you that he turns into the Riddler later. like basically fakes this guy's suicide, pushes him out the window, and finds that his device can also like suck up other people's intelligence, so it makes him super smart. Then Edward Nigma is like, fuck you, Bruce Wayne, and starts sending him like riddles. There's so many plot lines in this. It is actually wild.
It bounces around a lot.
So this is not maybe necessarily in the order, but then Bruce Wayne goes to this charity circus, the Gotham Charity Circus. He takes Miranda Chase with him as his date. And Two-Face shows up at the circus, and there's this circus, this acrobat troupe called the Flying Graysons, and Two-Face is like, I'm gonna blow up this circus if somebody here doesn't tell me who Batman is.
Everyone's
freaking out.
Val
Kilmer's standing up in the middle of a circus yelling, I'm Batman! And no one can hear him. Meanwhile, Dick Grayson, Chris O'Donnell, like takes this giant, comically sized ball with a ticking time bomb on it, takes it out of the top, throws it in the river. And but then Two-Face like shoots the rest of his family and they fall to their death. He's an orphan now. Bruce Wayne adopts this clearly of age child.
Adult.
Like voting. Like
screamed.
He is smoking cigarettes.
Yes, like I lost my freaking mind when they were like
he's
well,
got
you need
nobody
to,
in the world. He owns
you need
his
to be
own
adopted.
He owns his own motorcycle.
Just ask him to be your roommate. Yeah.
Anyway.
For the love of God.
But that's kind of the classic Robin origin story.
So funny.
He's like, I'm not gonna stick around. I wanna kill Two-Face. And Val Kilmer's like, I don't know why I keep calling him Val Kilmer. I guess Val Kilmer is like higher in my mind than Bruce Wayne. I don't know.
Yeah, there's something about it.
But Bruce Wayne is like, you dig two graves, your life will be ruined. Don't seek vengeance. Cause he, you know Batman. Robin finds out the Batcave, takes the Batmobile for like a joyride. And then Batman shows up and is like, how about you don't? And he takes out the rage of his dead parents on him or whatever. Two-Face shows up at a party that... Oh, okay. So then the Riddler's like, ooh, I like what Two-Face is doing. He's got good things. Shows up at Two-Face's lair and is like, hey, help me rob all these banks so we can start my company, which makes these boxes that sucks up people's intelligence and whatnot, and that's my big scheme. And Two-Face flips the coin. He's like, sure, let's do it. They do it. So they're robbing all these banks. Batman can't seem to catch them. Then Edward Nigma is like hosting this party for like, it's the launch of his new thing where now he can read minds, right? And they like get in and they find that Bruce Wayne is Batman. Like they read Bruce Wayne's mind. They figure out that he's Batman. Two-Face crashes the party and it's like, yeah, it's Batman. And... Two-Face, like the Batman jumps out of a window to follow Two-Face. They literally catch him in a tube and direct him into like an explosion place.
An explosion.
That's the only way I could. It's like they.
Our explosion hallway.
Yeah, they put him in a hallway, and then they direct explosions at him, and he's got a special cape, and he gets out, but the subway tunnel collapses on him, and who shows up to save him? But Robin, dressed in his old tights with a mask, and he pulls him out, and they get in a big fight because you shouldn't have been there, blah, blah, blah. And then they discover that Bruce Wayne is Batman, Two-Face and Riddler go to his house, and they trash the Bat Cave, blow it all up, and then, except for the two expensive vehicles that they fly out to fight them, and one prototype suit, Robin's prototype suit. They finally dress up as the dynamic duo. They hop in a boat. They hop in a plane. They fly to this island. They start fighting. The Riddler makes Batman choose between Robin and Chase. And he's like, I can't choose because I am both people anyway. And he jumps down a hole and grabs them both before they fall to their death, and he tricks Two-Face and he throws coins at him, and Two-Face falls to his death, and then the Riddler gets like jammed in his own machine. Batman just throws a batarang at the whole thing, and it explodes, dumps everything into the Riddler's brain. He goes insane, and we sort of end the movie with Dr. Manhattan, Dr. Chase. I keep calling her Dr. Manhattan, Dr. Meridian, being like, the Riddler knows who Batman is, and then it's like, he's like, I'm Batman, and he's fucking crazy in Arkham Asylum. And that's the movie, I think. Yeah.
I think!
There's a lot going on for a cheesy Batman movie.
No. A lot happens in this movie. It's so funny. The whole thing is freaking hilarious. Although I love the idea that there's a hallway for explosions.
Yeah.
Like you have like a shark room and then you have your explosion room. You're like, listen, you just go in this room and we blow you up.
And I also just love that Batman can be like railroaded just by like a flexible tube. Like he's the Dark Knight, and it's like, but you get him in a tube that goes the wrong way and he just shoots the wrong way. Yeah. Like that's
you get
so
an action
funny.
Figure in a box, it's over.
Yeah, that is definitely an action figurable scene. It's like a piece of like dryer venting. Action figure goes down.
You're done.
Yeah.
Okay, so our villains are clearly Two-Face and the Riddler.
Yes. I love it when we do superhero movies because it's so clear cut.
Oh, yeah.
Who's the villain? The villains.
Who's in the costume? Who's wearing the full green suit with question marks? Probably him.
Yes. Those are the villains for sure. It's Two-Face and the Riddler. And yeah, I'm here to defend him.
Okay, I love it. Do you want to start? Because I was like,
Well, okay, I'll start with the Riddler, which is my big argument for him is that, like, watching this movie, other than being like a little nuts, and who isn't from time to time, he's essentially just recreated social media.
Social media? Okay.
Like Facebook and Twitter and all the rest, where they're like, you beam the images right in their head and people become like zombies. They become addicted to it. Like, that's the biggest harm, that they're like, this Enigma guy, I don't know. It's like a more addicting TV, and that's bad.
And, oh, okay.
And then he's like, and I also get people's information that way.
I know things about your credit card numbers, yes, and your secrets
and your bank. Yeah. And I was just like, I don't think it's not evil.
Yeah. Okay.
I also think it's like, you know, when it like, I don't like it when it rains either. It's, you know, like I get wet when it rains, and you know,
that's
it's just
so interesting. I actually agree with you way more than the thought I had, because I was thinking more like VR. I was like, okay, this is like a cool VR experience where you can be anything and do anything.
Oh, it seems neat. Yeah.
But you're right. I think it's probably closer to social media. I like that better.
Yeah.
Like, it makes more sense to me.
Well, it's like some combination of like VR and social media is how they portray it. They're like, it's images in your brain. And you're like, great.
Also, I couldn't stand how quickly he was brushed aside for his work. It was like, clearly this is a huge scientific breakthrough. Bruce, a minute if we could.
Yeah.
If we could take a moment and just look at this and see if maybe there's a different application here.
Medical imaging.
Something. Training. Yeah, like.
Helping paraplegics.
Yes.
Like literally being able to read people's minds and take information out of it is... of course, everything's a double-edged sword, but like you're right. Absolutely.
There's
so
probably
valuable.
Some positive applications to this.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Also, I love. Okay, so I love the scene where, first of all, the Riddler's obviously obsessed with Bruce Wayne. Like, he really holds him on a pedestal. Is like, this guy's like my idol. I love him. He has like photos of him.
Yeah.
Around. He's really obsessed with him. And first of all, his boss stifling him.
Yeah,
his creativity.
An uncredited Ed Begley Jr.
he's stifling his creativity, okay, in a sector that's supposed to be all innovation. It's supposed to be just like sit around and think about new things that we could do.
Yes.
You still own this property. Like, this is your company. You own this property. Why don't you just let this man kind of tinker away at this? Be like, hey, man, maybe we'll start with like... I don't know, some animals. Like,
yeah.
Or
yeah.
Something else. Or like, I don't know. It looks cool. Let's look into this. Instead of like, I told you once and I'll tell you again. It's done. It's done, kid.
It's too dangerous, this technology.
Because somehow we know automatically that if you can beam it in, you can beam it out.
That's just known. That's grade four science is what that is.
So funny that this is just like common Gotham knowledge. Like, listen, yes. We have video watches and we know.
We know. You were taught this in school, remember? It was gravity pulls things down and electricity is measured in voltages. And if you can beam it in, you can beam it out. Am I right, kids? Force equals MA. You can't push a rope. And if you can beam it in, you can beam it out.
That sounds like something like a grizzled father would say.
Oh yeah,
absolutely. Oh,
the amount of good advice, and I'm not saying this ironically at all. That is, if you can do this, you can do that. Is it's so many pieces of good advice. Take that. Like the one my mom always said was like, I always would get stuck in a tree. Like, I'd climb up and like scream. No, like I'd climb the tree in my front yard, right? I'd get stuck up there, couldn't get out. And my mom would yell at me from the kitchen, like, if you can get up, you can get down. And it was like that tough love kind of like.
That's adorable.
Right?
That's an adorable story.
Yes.
Wow.
And then I told her this. Haven't I told you this? And then like years later, like I'm like an adult sort of thing. And I told her this, like with the whole family around. We're like at a dinner table. Mm. And I was just like, I just remember when mom like yelled at me, like I was stuck in a tree. And she's like, you can get up, you can get down. And just how much it hurt me. Like, I was just like, oh no, my mother has abandoned me up a tree. And she just looks at me. She goes, that was probably like the 20th time that day that you'd crawled up that damn tree and got yourself stuck. And she's like, and I was watching you the whole time. Like, I knew it. I knew that you could get down fine. And I did. I'm here now. I'm not still in the tree.
I'm here now. We're actually recording this in a tree.
Yeah.
That's so funny.
Never got down. Yeah.
That story's adorable.
Yeah, it's really sweet.
God damn.
So it's kind of an ethos I live by. I'm not, yeah, without being...
I wasn't planning on getting this sentimental today.
Yeah, I know. Neither was I. I was like, Batman forever. Here
I'm feeling feelings over here, Craig. We got to move along.
But like, I do love that in this thing. Like, it's set up like an intellectual sweatshop for Bruce Wayne. Like,
yes.
It's just this like long rows of... frenzied scientists just being like, I gotta think of something. Like, that to me was so funny. I was like, that's not how science is done.
Absolutely. And I do think he, like, the Riddler pushes back when he's like, oh, call my secretary. And I think that's supposed to look like frenzied, but I'm like, no. He knows what that means.
He knows that's
he knows what that means. Everybody knows what that means. Call my secretary is the biggest fuck you.
Yeah.
Call my secretary is like when your parents are like, maybe. No.
Yeah, no.
That's a no.
That's a no.
If it's not a yes, it's a no.
Yeah.
Anyway,
No, you're right. And it's like, so murdering your boss, villainous for sure. But like,
Okay.
Like, but you know what the biggest crime to me was there? Was he's like dangling out the window.
Not murder.
Not the murder. It's the other part. Is like when his boss is like, because he's got the headset on, right? And he pushes him out the window. He's like all tied up. Mm-hmm. And he says this line where he goes, sorry to say, I'm not fired. You're the one that's fired. Or should I say terminated? And he like pulls the helmet off and he falls to his death.
Yes.
It bugged me so much because the line there is let go. It's let go. You know what I mean?
Of course it is. Of course.
Like, I know terminated is also like killed, but it's like, sorry, or should I say let go? Boo, and that's the line. That's
Fuck
what
you,
that's the
Craig.
Biggest crime.
That's great.
That's the biggest
you're
crime.
No, you're absolutely, you know what? When you said the murder's not the worst crime, I wasn't planning on agreeing with you. But you've really brought me around. That's so funny. The line is let go.
Yeah.
Fuck, you're right.
And to finish off the sort of the thought of this is just social media, right? Which is he's gathering information about people and whatnot. Like, the uses that he's putting it to are so much more benign than what, mm-hmm. like, Facebook and Google and all of them are doing.
Yes.
Right? Where he's just like, I kind of just want to use everybody's brain as extra computing power so I can be the smartest man in the world and solve problems. Whereas, like, Google and Facebook are like, we want to sell you sneakers. And we want to sell you things. We want to listen to your conversations and let you know when, like, Dairy Queen is a block away because we know what temperature it is and we know that you got a bit of a sweet tooth.
Good
and we
Lord.
Know that if we say Dairy Queen that you're probably going to go get a blizzard. You know?
I feel like you're doing it to me right now. I'm like, man, I could hit a little DQ. Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's so funny. Yeah, it is really crazy how close it'll, like, I'm like, oh, I was talking about pastries one time, like specifically croissants.
Yeah.
And it pulled it up immediately, like the closest spot I could get them in Toronto.
Yeah.
I was like, that's, guys, we're not even trying to hide it. You know what I mean?
No.
We're not even one layer beyond. It's really actively in my face right now. Woo!
And like, I'm not saying it's not, like, it's not wrong. Like, what the Riddler did is wrong.
Yes.
But it's like, it's so disturbing to me that it didn't strike me as abnormal or out of place watching this movie in 2023. I was just like, oh yeah, no, that's just how the world works now.
Chilling.
You know? I was like, why is Batman so upset about this? That's how the world works. It's like, as I said, it's like Batman trying to fight the rain. It's like, it's just the way the world works, man. I'm sorry the thunder scares your dog, but Batman can't fight thunder.
Yes. I also think this guy could have handled this a little differently. Like, if I saw one of my employees freaking out, first of all, working overtime.
Yeah,
but secondarily,
yeah.
freaking out, I'd be like, I wouldn't be like, you're super duper fired now. Like, I don't think... That's the move. You know what I mean?
I agree, but do you think Bruce Wayne has a good mental health policy?
Oh, certainly not. This is a theme throughout all of Gotham. That asylum, chilling.
Yeah, no one's,
they're like,
no
hey,
one's going there getting better.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We put it on Lightning Hill.
It's so, always storming here.
Yeah, yeah,
we
yeah.
don't know why.
We put it on Lightning Hill beyond this creepy, creepy, like, creaking gate.
Yes.
Okay, come on down to the padded rooms where we have no medication. We only have doctors that have previous relationships with the patients.
Yes.
Which is a huge no-no.
Oh, absolutely.
You know anything about therapy? That's not...
Yeah,
we shouldn't be doing that.
You can't be the person to assess them when you have been their kidnapping victim.
No, no, no. We only have therapists... Consistently, we only have therapists that deeply fall in love with these cases
yeah.
they have.
Yes. Yeah.
Problematic.
Very much so.
Problematic. Okay. Yeah. There's obviously a huge wealth disparity happening within Gotham. And I got to tell you, like, honestly, there's a lot of things in this movie. Obviously, I don't, like, as far as villains being right, I'm like, oh no, I don't agree with this. I don't agree with that. I gotta tell you, I have never in my life shed a tear for any news story that's like, they stole a bunch of diamonds. Oh, no. Oh, no. Did they? I'm so sad. Is the diamond man losing some money today? I don't care.
You're never stealing diamonds out of the hands of starving orphans.
No. I've never shed a tear for a headline of like, oh, you know, Kim Kardashian got her jewels stolen. Fuck.
I guess that's what happens when you got jewels.
Shit happens. I would say on a scale, like if I scaled down like how much she makes versus how much I make, I've lost that 100 times. Just leaving stuff in cabs or
like you mean as a proportion of your anger?
Yes.
Yeah,
consistently.
Oh yeah. Oh, for sure.
I'm not worried about
for
it.
For sure. And how are you critiquing like something as being too dangerous when you're a fucking billionaire that literally owns a fighter jet? You know what I mean?
Oh.
I mean, like technology is too dangerous, but I you know.
Because like a lot of what Bruce Wayne thinks is too dangerous is just by definition something he doesn't feel he could control.
Right.
Because he is, in his mind, the judge, the jury, everything, right? Like he is justice.
Yes.
Okay. He is basically just doing what everyone else is doing in this movie, which is just running around for vengeance. That's it. He's just trying to chase some sort of fantasy that he's running through because his parents were murdered.
And refusing to talk about it with the therapist.
Although I will say this one movie, I don't know if there's another example of this because I'm trying to think if maybe I've missed another Batman movie, but I don't think I've ever watched a Batman movie where Batman was trying to reveal his identity so hard consistently. Consistently.
Yeah, he does it a few. You're right.
I was like, not one of that crowd heard you say that. Like, actually, in the chaos, I heard Bruce Wayne just yelling, I'm Batman! I'm Batman! Like, I think, and like, it takes nothing for him to want to tell the doctor.
No, like, he's nothing. Just like, I mean, like, she is throwing herself at both Batman and Bruce Wayne.
Listen,
like, she
I kind of get it.
I do too. I kind of feel like she's the most, she's one, simultaneously the most ridiculous and most grounded character in this whole thing.
Oh, absolutely. Which if I'm living in just Gotham, I'm whipping ass. Okay, absolutely.
Sorry, you're whipping ass?
Yeah, I'm out there. I'm trying to get Batman for sure.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you're like, that's like the Mount Rushmore of fucks in Gotham City, for
like,
sure.
Like, listen, if you grew up with Barbie dolls, there's got to be something going on with this Ken doll situation. I just have to subscribe. Okay, I get this. Okay.
Yeah, okay.
Although, I don't think it's very professional of her. I question her credentials at certain points of this movie. Because, like, there's something, listen, if I went to a therapist or, like, some sort of, you know, somebody in that field, in that mental health field of like, how do these guys think? What's going on? I treat people, whatever. If I show up and they're like, this is my dream, dudette. It wards off bad dreams. I'd be like, I'm actually out. I don't know. I don't think you're the doctor for me, maybe. I'm not saying you can't believe that.
Yeah,
and I'm not saying these doctors can't believe that, but I'm not saying, I just don't think you should whip it out.
I think it works better as a metaphor for culture had some belief about how you're this split person with dreams and whatever.
The thing that made me laugh so hard in this movie was when Bruce Wayne was like, yeah, I've been having these dreams. I'm now even having them in the daytime. I'm like, do you mean daydreams, Bruce Wayne? Do you mean have you not heard of those?
Yes.
They happen.
Your mind will wander.
Yeah. It's like sometimes I think about my dead parents and I'm like, yeah, I think people would tend to do that.
Yeah. Oh, really?
I think that's a super normal thing.
Why, Bruce? What happened? Going around talking like your dead parents, like it's not the most famous story in this entire city. Like people are literally whispering about that as you walk in the room, like, oh, poor Bruce Wayne, did you hear what happened to his parents?
Yeah.
Like, it's like, this is, I think, the third movie in a row, Batman Returns, Batman Forever, that covers it real well.
Oh, it is a
it is well-trodden territory.
Oh, yes.
One thing I found so funny about this, though, is like he's going through all this like he's like, I'm remembering things and maybe I have repressed memories and whatnot. And it turns out the repressed memory is him like freaking out at his parents' funeral, going for a run, falling in a cave, and then like he sees the bat flying at him and he's like, oh, that's it. It's a well-known kind of Batman thing. He falls in a cave, he sees the bat. But it's like presented here as a repressed memory. And I would just fucking love if when he finally remembers that repressed memory and he goes, oh, I guess it wasn't a bat. it's just like some weird fucking possum crawling out.
That's so funny.
And just being like, I've wasted my life.
It's just big, like a beaver.
Yeah,
like it's
just a big rat tail possum with many, like all the baby possums hanging off her belly. You know?
I should have been Gooseman. I love that. Fuck. That's a great pitch, man. Yeah. I would love to see that.
What if Batman had seen any other animal?
That scene also really made me laugh because he's like, I saw it and I knew it was my destiny. But just the way he said it, I couldn't stop picturing it like it was so like he was some sort of like, I don't know, girl that had gone on a trip and was discovering herself. She's like, I just saw a dolphin and I knew it was my destiny. I just knew that I had to get that tattoo. I knew it was my destiny. I saw it. It was a vision.
Oh, like, my God. Okay. I know that this is somewhat covered in Batman Begins, but I want Bruce Wayne's Eat, Pray, Love.
I
want him being... But all the soft parts.
Yeah. Oh,
you know,
the
travels of Bruce Wayne where he doesn't get into fights in you know, Chinese prisons and that sort of thing.
Absolutely. No, I want to... Yes. I want to see the softest version of Batman.
I want to see him go to Italy and have a gelato that blows his fucking mind.
He cries. Yeah. He cries. The music, well, it just... I really want this. He just whispers into it, I'm Batman. It just
Much different path I think he would end up on, you know? Just that guy, he just needs to treat himself every once in a while, and that would be kind of
Yes. He does seem like the type of man to deny himself a treat. I love that this movie opens with, you should pack a sandwich, I'm gonna hit the drive-thru.
Oh, and I mean, maybe you don't remember this, but that was for sure in a McDonald's commercial.
What? Oh,
They shot that and put it in the movie so they could use... Because the thing about this movie is toy companies and fast food places hated Batman Returns. They hated it because they were like... Oh, we want to see this perverted big nose Danny DeVito spewing blood all over himself? That's not going to sell milkshakes, Tim. That's not going to sell milkshakes, Mr. Burton. And so they switched it up and they were
that
like.
That's so true.
Yeah. And so, I mean, so they were like, this is an homage to fast food, is basically what this is.
That makes so sense. Everything's a toy in this
Everything's
movie.
A toy. There's
Everything
that,
is a toy.
There is a chase, a car chase, that's just in the middle of this movie that is not motivated by anything that happens before it or after it. They literally just cut to it. Batman's driving around the city and Two-Face tries to, like, carjack him. And... Batman gets away by like driving the Batmobile up the side of a building. And you go, there's a brief moment where you say, why the hell is this scene in this movie? And you go, toys. It's there for toys because we need a Batmobile that goes up the side of the building.
Oh my God. Maybe there's a sick part of me that misses commercials.
Yeah.
Or like that type of commercial. Mean, you know what I mean?
And to this day, I remember it was like McDonald's had the glass glasses.
Yes.
The collector's edition with like Riddler and Two-Face and Batman and Robin on them. And it was like, I remember what those looked like. So clearly it worked on the core demographic of how old? This is 94. 95. So I would have been like 11 years old when this movie came out.
Oh my God. You know what really blew my mind? Because the first scene she's in, I couldn't really tell, but I was like, is that Drew? is that Drew Barrymore?
Oh my God. Yes, so that was Drew Barrymore. Yes.
I freaked out.
Yeah, I forgot that she was in this too. And I just realized why, by the way, we can picture these glasses so well. Because our producer, Andrew, just handed us the actual glasses.
Oh my God.
This is the Robin one. What
oh yes,
got?
We've got a Robin.
Okay, well, this is Diana's.
Robin, yeah, they're a Robin household. Okay. Yes,
that's amazing.
That is amazing. That's so funny. Oh my God.
No wonder I can picture them. We've probably drank out of them.
Yes.
That's so cool. Drew Barrymore. I was like, oh, right.
Yeah, plain sugar.
Sugar and spice. And, I forget her name right now, but she's also, that girl. She was in the Craft and...
Right.
Debbie Mazur.
Yes. Yeah. No, I really like that addition too. And I loved the visual of like Two Faces layer where it was like, it was split in half.
Yeah. Cause
there
he
was
can't
like
make
a
position.
Lot of fun stuff in this movie. Like that's really fun.
It is fun.
They
and
each
I
make
forgot-
them a different meal. Like that's, I like that.
It is fun. Yeah. And I think I appreciate it more now, like 20 years later or whatever it is.
I think if you take this movie seriously, you will have a bad time.
Right.
I think if you just go, no, don't just turn off your brain, sit back, listen to some cheesy lines, some amazing costumes, set design, like situations
where
you're like...
A couple musical stings that felt like they were from the 60s Batman.
Yeah. Like, I think it just, this movie, I love a movie that leans in.
Yeah.
And this movie's leaning the fuck in. Okay, they're not being shy.
Yeah.
So Two-Face, we haven't really talked about Two-Face a lot. Murderous. He is on a John Wick rampage, this man.
Sure. No.
Sure.
And I was waiting to get to Two-Face.
Okay.
Because
okay.
I think I can prove to you statistically and mathematically that Two-Face is good and that Two-Face exists in an overly oppressive society that overcriminalizes most behavior. And that, at its worst, trying to kill Batman is a morally neutral act.
First of all, I love it. Please continue. love it. Please, I love when you come in with this kind of heat, Craig. I love it.
All right, well, I'm gonna lay some stuff on you. But first, I need you to agree to four very basic tenets that I think are going to be largely uncontroversial to you and to our listening audience.
Okay. I love it.
Proposition number one: Two-Face makes the majority of decisions by flipping a coin.
Yes.
Particularly moral decisions.
Fact.
Right. His main character arc, right?
Yes,
his
factual.
Okay,
consistent.
No argument there.
No.
All right, point number two, that the coin is fair. This actually doesn't matter, but just it's a 50-50 chance.
Yes.
For his coin.
Absolutely.
Every time.
Yes.
Okay, excellent. Point number three, that every no decision can be made in isolation. So it's all based on the decisions that come before it, right? Like you deciding whether or not you're going to have coffee today at the recording is based on you deciding to come here, which, you know, is based on how late you stayed up last night, which is based on, you know, all these decisions all the way back to you deciding to do this podcast, right?
Yes, I do want a coffee. Yes.
Yes. Okay. Yeah, we'll get one after. Yes. Yeah, absolutely. So you can see like you can't make the decision to kill Batman without having decisions that led up to that, right?
Certainly.
So all his decisions, these 50-50 decisions, are compounding as we go.
Yes.
Yeah.
And even when he reaches his final, like his final goal, he still flips.
Exactly. Yeah. So every decision.
So it doesn't matter the level of decision.
Yes. But it's...
No decision is more important than the other, it seems.
No decision is more important than the other, but like all the outcomes of all the other decisions have sort of added up.
Absolutely.
To this, right? Absolutely. Okay. Fair enough. And then the final point... is that Two-Face makes a very large number of these 50-50 decisions. Since his inception with the acid, he's made a very large number of these choices.
Yes.
Okay. All that makes sense to you?
Yes.
All right. Now, Rebecca, what do you know about the central limit theorem?
Craig, I'm not going to lie to you. I think you know the answer. I think that's a rhetorical question.
Yeah. Okay, so here's what the central limit theorem is.
Okay.
Here's what the central limit theorem is that if you take enough samples of something, that things are going to tend towards the middle. They're going to create a bell curve. They're going to create what we call a normal distribution.
Okay. Right?
So think of it like, you know, the Plinko board from The Price is Right?
Yes.
They drop the thing and it bounces on the peg and it can go left or right?
Yeah.
Okay, so think of hitting each one of those pegs as two faces, 50-50 shot, right? It can go left, it can go right, it can be heads, it can be tails, it can be good, it can be evil.
Mm-hmm.
So you can think of each peg it hits as adding up, right? So if it moves to the right, that's like plus one, and if it moves to the left, that's negative one, right? So in order for it to reach the very, very far end of the board, like all the way to the right, let's say,
yes,
it would have to hit peg, go right, 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 to get all the way over there, right?
Mm-hmm.
More likely it's going to go right, right, left, left, right, left, right, 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 left, you know, which means that most of those little discs are going to end up right in the middle.
Yeah,
and it's going to trail off towards the ends.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so morally, what that means is that if he's doing 50-50 shots on everything, statistically speaking, he is going to end up at morally neutral. And the more samples you take, the more decisions he has to make, the more pegs he has to go down that board, the more it's going to tend towards the center and die out towards the ends. Which means that statistically speaking, Two-Face is in the moral center. There is a chance that he's an outlier. There's a chance that he got, you know, let's say 100 tails, and that puts him at the very extreme end of, like, villainy.
Mm-hmm.
Except that we see he's not. We see that his coin sometimes is heads, sometimes is tails throughout the movie, which means that he is living in this moral center area within one standard deviation, to use the right term, and that because all of his actions tend towards morally neutral, the fact that he is persecuted as a villain just means that Gotham and its justice system persecutes more moral stances than it should. It's persecuting the moral center.
Okay. Can I ask you a question?
Yes.
Because I don't know if I've 100%. Here's would be my question. Because I think... with that theory, you would be running under the assumption that they would be on one side or the other, good or bad.
Right.
But I don't know if I would qualify not killing somebody as good, but more as neutral. So
right.
I feel like the curve is actually between neutral and bad, which would curve it differently, in my opinion.
Okay, that's a fair point. That's a fair
point.
Does
that make sense?
That's a fair point, right.
Okay.
But that goes back to my other premise where it's like every decision is based on every other one, right?
Okay.
So like if you're, let's just talk about pure morally neutral. Like,
yeah.
Do you, like something small. Do you steal a pack of gum or not, right?
Yes.
Stealing a pack of gum, bad. Not stealing a pack of gum, good. Right?
Or neutral because you're just not doing anything.
Are you not? Okay. But my point would be, it's like if it bounces this way, and that now all of a sudden you've sort of opened that gate, and now the next wrong thing that you do is going to push you more to that side, right? Whereas if you do something good, then like the next thing could push you further towards the good side. So I think there is a world where depending on what state that you're in, if you do nothing or choose not to do the wrong thing, then that allows you to keep moving further towards good.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
It does make
sense.
It's
like the
I just feel like walking around doing nothing is not inherently moving
good.
Towards good.
Yeah, that's true. But all this to say,
I loved it.
All this to say, statistically, I mean, we've talked about how Batman is a bad person here. His obsession with killing Batman can't be too far from moral center. It's a decision that, like, must be contained within this. Therefore, Batman is bad, and it is morally justified to try and kill him, which is most of his motivation in this movie, right? He doesn't really want much else other than justice against Batman.
He does really want justice against... But I just feel like some of it's, like, at any cost.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah. I mean. He is a tremendous villain, though. Like, I love the way he styles.
He's one of my favorite Batman villains of all time.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. I mean, right back to the animated series.
Harvey, all right.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he looked fucking badass in the animated
series. He really did. Although that animated series, front to back, is amazing.
Yes. I think it was was it still on the air in 95? I think it might have been.
Yeah, it still really holds up. Every once in a while, I'll throw it on again.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, this is just good. Like, the style of the whole thing is amazing. Yeah. Like, I just love watching it. So colorful.
But I just also love the idea of that guy being so conflicted. Like putting my whole argument. true talk here.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's just like, I love that it's like, I'm so conflicted as to what to do. I thought they did a great job of it in The Dark Knight. Mm-hmm. I thought they did. Dark Knight, yes. Like with Aaron Eckhart and like that sort of, I was like, I love this character. I think he's fucking hilarious in the Harley Quinn cartoon.
I don't know if I can remember him in the Harley.
He's kind of like a secondary character.
Okay, cool. I have to go back and watch that.
Yeah.
It's really, I'm like, this is exactly my speed.
Yes.
This is really up my alley. I think you got me to watch it for a bonus.
Yeah, we covered season one in a bonus episode.
Yeah, or somebody recommended it, or you recommended it. I can't remember, but I was like, oh, yeah. Whoever did this knows me really well. Like, yeah, I feel that. Yes. I want to say, I think the doctor's not a great doctor, but I think she's, I don't know, I kind of like her motivations. Like, I think it's hilarious that she knows, like, almost immediately that it's Batman. Like, you know what I mean? Not almost immediately.
From a kiss.
It's
like, and here's...
I got to tell you, I would never, ever be able to identify that. Like, probably not.
If they were real bad, though?
Oh, absolutely. Actually, there's one man. I take that back. There's one man I would be able to identify on sight. I'm like, this teeth-licking motherfucker.
Just that's got to be your, like, own personal code from now on. When someone's, like, a terrible kisser, just pull away from that kiss and just whisper to yourself, but audibly, you're Batman.
You're Batman! Oh, you're Batman?
You're Batman.
I can tell you're Batman.
And you'd be like, what does that mean? Don't worry about it.
It means you're so rich, nobody's told you the truth.
Yes. But speaking of the doctor, I will point out one very villainous thing that she does.
Oh, okay.
Which she goes, Batman, my place, midnight. And then falls asleep. She's all, like, done up in fucking lingerie and just, like, you know, like, draped in the most sex. I've never seen a sheet. Real sheets don't drape that sexy up for people. You know what I mean? They're a crumpled mess.
I mean, it's Nicole Kidman.
It's Nicole Kidman. Sheets fall
on
her.
We'll allow it. Sheets fall
on her a different way.
Yeah.
But then she's asleep in bed when Batman shows up. I was like, that is so fucking funny. I mean, like.
I love that you're calling up, like, booty call rules. You're like, excuse me.
Oh, you don't think Batman has better things to do at night than come by your place? That's the middle of his workday. Are you kidding me? Like, midnight
that's
to 4 a.m.? That's like.
Work day.
That's like, hey, swing by my place for a quickie before work. And you're like, that'll be hot. And then they're like, not. You're like, I gotta be at work, man. I gotta be at work.
That's so freaking funny. Yeah, I didn't. You know what? I didn't even clock that one. And you're right. That's not good booty call form. That's not. I mean, who amongst us has not made that mistake? You know what I mean?
You overplayed your hand. You thought you had a little more time and energy than you had, you know? The Uber took a little longer. But, like, I still think that's a crime.
How did you feel about old Robin?
I mean, he's a man.
He's a man. He's a full man.
Yes.
That's the adoption thing. Absolutely fucking floored. It was so funny.
Yes. And here's the thing. I understand why you need an older Robin.
Yes.
I don't want to see an 8-year-old in trouble, right? I don't think an 8-year-old can pull a grown Batman out of rubble.
Yes.
You know? So I get that, like, we want him young, but not quite a child. So I think that makes sense. But, like, you needed another story other than adoption.
Or you need to, because this whole movie is kind of ridiculous. Like, you need to make it ridiculous. Like, really point at it and be like, we know this is a man. We have eyes.
Yeah, like, make him canonically 12.
Yeah, yeah, like, something insane. Yeah. You know what I mean?
I am 12
like,
years old.
I am 12.
Like, as Chris O'Donnell, like, shaves a full-grown
yeah, like,
beard.
Something, you got to kind of lean into it.
Yeah.
Or you're right, just change it a bit. Because, like, Nicole Kidman's character wasn't, I believe, a Batman character.
No,
like,
no.
Like, it was somebody that was written in specifically for this movie because it was kind of like, well, I don't know what the thought was, but they were like, all
we
right.
We need someone sexy. We need,
we need someone sexy.
This movie is targeted at,
yes, at credentials.
12 to 14-year-old boys, and we need them to look
and both,
at something
and
nice.
Both the villains are men, so yes. We gotta do something.
I mean, you can't come off Michelle Pfeiffer in the cat suit and be like, we're not gonna, you know?
These are the facts.
I'm not gonna say it.
What? Craig.
I was gonna say there's a giant pussy-sized hole in this from because of the cat. Because of
Craig! Craig.
I'm so sorry.
Who are you? Me? What's happening?
But yeah, anyway,
you're
we're
so
sort of
funny.
Referring cat. Well, anyway.
Yeah, no, you're funny. You're funny. You're funny.
Yeah,
dude.
Yeah, I shouldn't have said that. But anyway, yeah.
I shouldn't have said that.
I don't know, but Robin is such an interesting character in this movie because I feel like on the surface, this is his movie. This is a movie about, like, the villain killed your parents. I seek revenge.
Yes.
Bruce Wayne learns how to be a different person. Like, he's like, oh, I see somebody heading down the same road I am. I need to save them from that. Like, that's a really nice story. And, like, I feel if I had a criticism of this movie is, like, we could have done with one less villain and focused more on that storyline.
Oh, interesting.
You know what I mean? Because we're not even introduced to him as a character until 30 minutes into the movie. We're first introduced to Meridian Chase, Dr. Chase, Dr. Meridian, the Joker. We're introduced to Two-Face. And, like, half an hour in after we've established all these characters is like, oh, and by the way, Robin's in this too.
Yeah.
I think, like, that should almost be, like, the initial inciting incident is his parents are killed. He's got to learn how to seek justice on his own terms. Bruce has got to come to terms with that. You know, like, I think that just makes a tighter movie. I don't know if that'd be as fun, but.
Oh, no, this movie feels like it just keeps, like, glitter bombing you. You know
yes.
what I mean? Like, just like, bomb, bomb, bomb. Like, you just don't know. Things are flying at you. They're flying at you. They're happening. I kind of like it.
Yeah.
I mean, I would agree with you. It'd probably make, like, maybe a better movie. But I don't think this movie needs to be a better movie.
Fair enough.
Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I don't think it needs to be a better movie. Anyway, I don't know. Are you ready?
Yeah, I think we've beat this to death.
We beat it to death! All right, I'm so excited to hear what you have because yeah. every time we do this and Craig goes, there's no way we have the same scales. I get so excited.
Yes.
Okay. So what do you got for your scale?
So I've got the statistics scale. So on a scale of a flip of a coin to winning the lottery, I am going to give Two-Face the Monty Hall problem.
Oh, yeah.
Because I can't explain it, but he's right.
That's cute. I like that. I'm doing the Riddler, which is nice. So I've got the, this is such a stupid, I've got alternative titles.
Oh, nice.
So from Night Flyer Daddy Endlessly to Nocturnal Punchy Man Always. I am going to give the Riddler a winged single wealth daddy for eternity.
Love
because
it.
You're not right. It's you're kind of freaking people out. It's just not right.
Love it.
And guys, before we get to our heroes and villains of the week, as always, there's a couple of ways you can help out the podcast. If you would like to follow us, you can follow us at VWR Podcast on Twitter. Villain Was Right on Facebook. If you would like to email us, you can email us at villainwasright@gmail.com. Please send in your suggestions. This, I believe, was a suggestion. We love doing them. It makes our work really easy. And then we do the stuff that you want to listen to. And if you have a couple of bucks.
Yeah, if you have some money, you can support us on Patreon. Patreon.com/thevillainwasright. Patreon is a monthly subscription service where you get to support the artists that you love. And in return, you get some amazing benefits. So if you choose to support The Villain Was Right, at our $7 a month level, you get two bonus episodes every month. Rebecca picks one, I pick one. And these are movies where the villain wasn't necessarily right. So this month, we did RRR, and we're also covering Josie and the Pussycats, which if you love a little bit of cheese, that is what a sweet movie that is.
Perfection. Perfection.
Can't wait to... So check that out. As well, we have other tiers where you have ad-free episodes, early releases of episodes, and voting on our audience choice. So find the tier that's right for you at patreon.com/thevillainwasright. And thank you so much to everyone who's already supporting us and everyone who likes and listens to the podcast. We love you guys so much. And now it is time for our heroes and villains of the week. I've got, I've got a villain this week. So in honor of Batman, a.k.a. a rich guy who doesn't do anything good, I have a villain, Galen Weston Jr., everybody.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's a fair one. That's a really good villain, actually.
Yeah, so if you're not aware or you're not maybe not from Canada, Galen Weston is the president and CEO of the Loblaws Corporation, which is... a grocery chain here in Canada.
Inescapable.
Yeah, and inescapable.
Inescapable. They also own Shoppers Drug Mart.
And like, No Frills and like all these other chains. So really inescapable. And he recently hired a consultant to evaluate his pay. And the consultants that he hired determined that he was underpaid to the tune of like $1.5 million. So he got a $1.5 million raise for a total compensation of $8.4 million at the same time that food bank attendance in Toronto is up 400%. 400% more people are going to food banks in Toronto since this year, and grocery prices are through the roof.
Oh, it's insane.
And it's this insane. Guy's like, you know what the best use of this money would be is giving myself another like nearly $2 million raise. Oh, just fuck you from the bottom of my heart.
Yeah.
Fuck you deeply and hard. Mm-hmm. You're the worst. I can't imagine
living
with
worst.
Yourself like that.
Mm-hmm.
Just fuck right off. Society is broken. That's my feeling of
the
week.
Absolutely. Hope you trip on one of your bananas, bud.
Oh, and they were also implicated in a price-fixing scheme
for bread
over the last 15 years that they still haven't sorted out yet.
For bread! All the grocery they were like, stores. We'll give you a $5 coupe. Fuck you.
Yeah.
It's not worth the amount of time to fill out the paperwork. Anyway, that's a good one. That's a good one and a bad one.
Yeah,
I'm fired up over here. Like I feel, I feel violent, man. I'm worked up. So for my villain of the week, it is me again. You know how Craig versus technology is a regular segment. Rebecca loses shit is my regular segment. I lost some shit. Fuck. So I went into Edmonton to do a run of shows. And the first night I'm there. Now, to be fair, I don't think this was 100% my fault, okay? Because I was not drunk. I was fine. This one of the comics was driving me around, like kind of like shipping me from one show to the other because I had to get to the second show pretty quickly to headline it. Anyway, and he was kind enough to drive me home. Now I realized the next day that my fanny pack, because that's what my preferred mode of wallet transportation, had a hole in it. So like if I opened if one of the zippers were open, anything could fall out, even if it wasn't in that pocket, right? So like my back thing was open and I was sitting in the car and I guess it popped out, right? But I'm like, I'm freaking out the next day. I'm like, oh man, I lost my wallet. Like, shit. I mean, it could have been worse. There were things that I was like, okay, at least I have my passport. So for whatever reason, I brought my passport. So I was like, okay, at least I can get on a flight and get back to Toronto. Okay, because if you have no idea, this becomes a bigger problem. Not an impossible problem, just a bigger, like it's a headache, right?
Yeah.
And I had gotten paid that night, but only for one show. So I was like, again, could have been worse. Okay. Like could have been, I could have had more cash on me. This could have been a bigger problem, whatever. Right. But I text the guy that drove me. I text this kid and I'm like, hey man, like, and I was pretty certain in my head. I was like, I think I dropped it in your car. I know I counted my money on the way to your car. I put it in my wallet. I had my wallet when I got into your car. So I'm pretty sure it's there. Right. So I text him and I'm like, hey man, I think I left my wallet in your car. And he texts me back like 5 minutes later. He's like, nah, it's not there. And I'm like, fucking hell, dude. Right. So I check my bank and like nobody's used my card. And I'm like, okay, that's kind of weird. Cause I don't know if you guys know anything about Edmonton, but if somebody finds your wallet, they are using that Visa right away. There is no question. Okay. I saw a woman wielding a stick on my first day in Edmonton. Okay. They're popping off there. All right. It can get a little dicey in Edmonton. And I think most of the time, if you lose your wallet, somebody's going to use your card right away. So I was like, okay, that's good. I still had like, I could still use like Apple Pay. Like there was things that I was like, this could have been worse, whatever, right? But I go, like, I even retrace my steps. I go on like this huge walk, like back to the bar. I look outside where the car would have been. I was like, I don't know, maybe. Like I'll take any chance at this point, right? Anyway, so Saturday, but I know I'm seeing this guy again on Saturday because I'm doing another gig with him, right? And so he texts me on Saturday to give me the deets. And he's like, hey, did you find your wallet? And I was like, because I didn't want to text him again and be like, hey, I don't believe you.
Yeah. You're nice enough to drive me around.
Yeah, but. Like you're nice enough to drive me around. Like, I don't want to tell you, but he's like a kid, right? Like, I think he did like a, you know, like a kid chat, like a quick, like a loosey-goosey, whatever, right? So I text him back and I don't want to say anything. I'm just like, nah, I haven't found it yet. And it's kind of weird because nobody's used my card. That's what I say.
Yeah.
And he texts me back like 2 minutes later being like, oh yeah, I was under the seat. And I was like, bro, you didn't check under the seat. What do you mean? And he was like, well, I checked the sides of the seats because I thought you sat down and it probably popped out of your pocket. Ah, that killed me. It was really fun. I was really certain it was in the car, yeah. So I wasn't ever super panicked. This kid's super nice kid. Like, he's, you know what I mean? I just, it made me laugh so fucking hard. And then honestly, like, and I thought, oh, I'm so lucky. I'm so lucky. And then like 4 days later, I left my headphones in an Uber. Never to be seen again. Oh, no. And I was like, there it is. There it is. I'm such an ass, man. Ooh, I am a loose. That's loose. You know what I mean?
Yeah, just things are dropping off you like
fucking hell, dude. Although, just a quick side note that made me laugh so hard this morning. Just so you know, like that, my roommate and I are different flavors of the same person. So she texts me this morning being like, dude, somebody went through my car again. And I was like, yeah, that checks out. Because one time we rolled up to her car and there was a guy actively going through it. And Lexa just hits the button, right? And he just goes, oh, just like kind of surprised. And he just walks off and we go, oh, that was weird. And we just got in the car and drove off.
Holy shit.
Well, what are we going to do? Chase him down?
Yeah, it's like your nickels back or whatever.
He also didn't really take anything. Like, I don't know if he took anything, maybe some snacks or something. I mean, she doesn't leave anything of value in the car, but it just makes me laugh so hard. I'm like, we are the same person.
That's so funny.
In a very particular way. Yeah. Anyway, guys, that's it for me. As always, you can follow me at Rebecca Reads on any platform of your choosing.
Yeah, follow me at Craig Faye Comedy, Facebook, Twitter, craigfaye.com for show dates.
And guys, next week we are going to be covering the comedy classic ? Role Models. Does that movie hold up? I don't know about that. Anyway, guys, that's it for us. And this is The Villain Was Right, reminding you that your fate could be decided by the flip of a coin.
'The Villain Was Right' is produced by Andrew Ivamy as part of the From Superheroes Network. For more great podcasts like this, as well as webcomics, articles, and so much more, visit FromSuperheroes.com.